I thank you today, Lord. I just feel a sense of just enjoyment and just being able to relax in your presence, Lord. I thank you that we can come and feel rest in your presence, Lord. We don't have to perform this morning. And so I pray, Lord, that off anybody that feels that they're trying to perform or put a brave face on. I thank you, Lord, that this morning the church is all about people coming together and being themselves before a God who already knows them anyway. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we can come and be real with you because you know every need that we have, and yet you say ask. Because you love relationship, you love to speak to us, you love to listen to us, and vice versa. And I pray this morning that you would give us ears to hear, and you would open up our hearts, Lord, to receive something afresh from you today, because we love you, Lord. And I pray that we love you all with all of our hearts, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So as Daniel said, we've got a few things coming up. I just want to say that outreach in Halloween time is in 2 weeks' time, so if you are free, we would love you to help us out with that. We had outreach during the summer, where we went into the various estates of Armagh. And so we said we want to try and go back every quarter or just set a date. So we said Halloween, and then we said Christmas, and then we said Easter, and then we said hopefully back summertime. So that's our minimum, that we're going to be there at least four times a year. We'd love to be more, but we know realistically how busy life is and how crazy everything goes on. So if you're free on the Saturday afternoon of the 31st and you're not out trick-or-treating, then come and help us treat, and you'll have fun. So look forward to that. And if you can, go and see some of the team and let them know about that. And then the other thing, I'm not sure if Daniel mentioned about it because I wasn't listening that good, just because I was busy doing other things. And it was the 5th of December, which is the Christmas, we're going to do like a Christmas markets. And so our whole goal in Vibe is to be a blessing. And if you had noticed, maybe you saw one of the posters coming through the door where it says that we had this like mothers and toddlers and babies kind of singing thing or dance thing on Saturday mornings. That was just something that crept up out of the blue, and this lady came along newly and she says, have you got a building that we could use to do this in on Saturday mornings for an hour? And we said, well, you can use our building. And so she's loved it, and some of the ladies that have come along this last couple of Sundays, they're like, what is this place? It feels so different. It feels good. What is it? And of course, it's the presence of God. They're just not sure what that is just yet. But our goal is to be a lifeboat to our community. And so we want to welcome anybody and everybody along to let them hear about Jesus and let them see and feel what we're doing. So the 5th of December is another event like that. It's going absolutely huge. So what we're going to have is we're going to have lots of different stalls in here. We're going to have Santa's Grotto so the kids can go and see Santa and they can get a present and things like that. But really, it's just an event for the community. On Facebook, there's already like 130 people going, which we've never seen before in any of our events. So that's just amazing. It seems to be an event that people love, and it will be just one of those events that will serve our community, be a blessing, and people can come along and check us out and maybe go, maybe this place isn't that bad. I'll come back on Sundays. So that's the goal. That's the heart, to be a blessing to our community. Okay, amen. We're going to have a look at a few things this morning. I want to, James, if you want to flick up the first verse, it's in Psalm 33:9. It says, for when he spoke, the world began, it appeared at his command. I want to speak this morning about that our God speaks. It's funny, I'm speaking, but it's amazing to think that right back at the beginning, God spoke, and he spoke the world into being. You know, it wasn't that he had a world factory. I don't know how that would look, but you know, it wasn't that he had a big factory like Moy Park, Paul works in that, but it wasn't like he had a big factory and he suddenly created worlds in it. It says, no, that he spoke the world into being. It says, for when he spoke, the world began, it appeared as he commanded. So when God commanded something, something took place. And so speech is vital. And this morning I want us to think about that our God speaks, and not only does he speak to worlds and to big things like this, but he speaks softly, sometimes loudly, but he speaks into our hearts. And I want to remind us this morning that our God speaks, because it's an incredibly vital thing that our God speaks, and it's incredibly vital that we know that, but also hear him when he speaks. Because the Word of God is just, it's amazing. It's amazing. We look at the Word of God being the Bible. The Word of God could be a voice in our hearts, a voice in our heads. It could be someone coming to us with the Word of the Lord. It could be whatever. It could be just what we see on the outside, and it just reminds us of God, and it speaks to us mightily in our hearts. But I got excited about this verse, because it says, for when he spoke, the world began, it appeared at his command. When God speaks, everything changes. And the thing that I love is that when God created us, there's only one creation that God created that had language and can communicate, which I'm not doing very well at the moment, which is us. You know, animals can't do it. They can make noises and, you know, they maybe do other ways to communicate and have different ways to communicate, but human beings were the only ones that got language. And so I think it's very special. I think it's very important to recognize how important speech is, how important life is. And God says that, that life is in the power of the tongue. You know, we can build people up or we can bring people down. And so this morning, I want us to think of how good it is to have fellowship with other people. I want to think about how good it is when someone comes to you and gives you a word of encouragement. I want to think how good it is when someone gives you a phone and said, I've just been missing you, I thought I'd give you a call. But then I want us to think about how good it is and how good it would be if you haven't heard the voice of the Lord in a long time when God gives us a call. When God reminds us of how special we are. When God comes in a season when we're not doing well and he says, I'm still here. I'm still faithful. I haven't forgotten about you. I want to speak to you. Just in the same way as I spoke the world's into being from nothing, it's so important that God would speak into our hearts, because there's days when we feel like we're nothing. There's days when we feel like I just love a dream. There's days that we feel like I don't know where to turn to. I don't know where to go. And it's that same word of God that spoke the world's into being that can speak into us as a human being and create life and create purpose and create destiny and just lift us up. Well, maybe some days we're just hanging on. So I want us to think about this morning. Our God speaks. We need to know it. And we need to hear his voice. And later on, we're going to look at some verses to hopefully back up this fact that our God does speak. And we do know his voice. And we will recognize it. And it will be a blessing to us. Right from the beginning, God was speaking. And right from the beginning in Genesis, it says that Adam and God walked together. They walk together, they talk together, they spend time together. So it's always been God's plan. It's always been God's plan right from the beginning to talk to his children and for his children to talk to him right from the beginning. Could you imagine the scene in Genesis in the garden and Adam's just walking with God? There's this one verse that I love. I haven't got it on this morning, but there's one verse if you read the beginning of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And it says that Adam walked with God and then they named animals together. And they named flowers together. Yeah, I love that. That God chose to walk with man. That God not only created us, but he created us with purpose. And then he came down to our level and he said, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I've created you in my image. I want you to know that you're important. I want you to know that you're highly valued and highly favored. And so he walks with Adam and they start naming animals together. They start naming things together. What an incredible picture. What an incredible God that we serve. Our God wants to speak this morning. And I hope already he's maybe starting to speak into our hearts. I hope this morning already he's starting to speak into our hearts. And if you don't know the Lord, good news, God still speaks to you. Did you know that? Even when you don't know God, he still speaks to you because our God is so great and he loves you. And so maybe this morning you're here and your heart is pumping because you can feel just God's draw. You can feel God speaking to you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know a dream and you know a destiny in your heart and you feel it pumping because you're like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't know if I could do that. But God's saying, you're well able because I'm with you. And so this morning, our God speaks and he speaks to us. I thought about when God speaks. I thought about that it's amazing how God can be incredibly huge and incredibly big and yet be incredibly small at the times when we need it. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about Paul or Saul on the road to Damascus. He was a Christian killer. All he wanted to do was kill Christians, round them up, throw away the key, just bind them in chains and never ever remember about them. And then God, it says one day God just came so kind of intensely, so brightly, it blinded him and it knocked him off his horse. And then God spoke to him and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, when God needs to, he will come forcefully and he will speak mightily into our situation. God came to Saul in that moment and he spoke big and he spoke huge and he spoke with authority. And it was exactly what Saul needed. And suddenly Saul was changed to Paul. And suddenly Paul wrote half of the New Testament, if not most of it. I mean, God, when God speaks, he knows how to speak. He knows the times to go in loud and he knows the times to go in quiet. I'm going to think about 1 Kings this morning. There's another verse I want you to pop it up, James. It says in 1 Kings 19, it says, then the voice of the Lord came to Elijah and he says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And this is the alternative voice to the Lord, the voice that comes maybe in a whisper. Elijah, just to set the scene, in the Old Testament, this is why we're so blessed, just to remind ourselves why we're so blessed. In the Old Testament, God didn't tend to speak to man just as freely as he does today. Because we're in an old covenant. So what he did was he would come to people like Elijah, who was a prophet. And it simply means this, that God would come to certain men and certain women, and he would tell them his instructions, and then they would go and tell the majority. They would go and tell the rest. But today, what's so beautiful about the cross and what's so beautiful about Jesus and the Holy Spirit is that God wants to talk one-to-one to us. And there's an open challenge for us every moment of every day. In the middle of the night, if we wake up scared, we can still talk to God. And God's still talking to us, and He's there for us. This morning, Elijah was a prophet of God. He was one of these super prophets. He was one that was remembered. He had done great things. And the day or two before, he had done something incredible. He had went into the foreign lands and he'd spoken to these prophets of Baal. These were these guys who thought they knew everything, thought that they could tell the future. They could to a certain point. They could do crazy things. They could do weird things. But they weren't God. They were against God. They were for the enemy. They were for this enemy queen and king, the Queen Jezebel. And so Elijah comes to them this day and they're in Mount Carmel and it says, we're going to test your God and we're going to see who is the true God. And so they build these altars and the prophets of Baal, I think there was 200 or 250 of them, and they're praying and believing to their gods and for what their gods can do. And so they cry and they talk to their gods and they're hoping that their gods are listening and they're hoping that their gods are talking back to them. But no matter how much they pray, no matter how much they talk to their gods and try to bring this up, they cannot bring fire from heaven. They cannot do it. And so Elijah steps in probably one of his greatest ever moments, and he steps in and says, watch what my God can do. And he's so confident in his God that he takes the altar and he pours lots and lots of water on. And anybody knows if you want something to burn, don't put water on it. That's what puts something out or stops something from lighting up. But Elijah was so confident in his God because he knew his voice. Because he knew his voice, he had heard his voice, and he knew his God. And his God knew his voice. It was a two-way conversation that went on between these two. And so Elijah prays, and God comes so intensely in the fire, it burns up absolutely everything. It says that there's just nothing left. And so this is the day or two before, and Elijah's just had probably his greatest ever moment. And then a day or two later, he starts to listen to other voices. Because who knows that if we're not careful, instead of listening to God's voice, we can start to listen to other voices. You know, the voices of accusation. I've said, who do you think you are? And, you know, what makes you think you could do that? And just because you did that one day, well, you're nothing the next day. You know, the enemy's very good at coming with different voices. The world's very good at coming with different voices. And it's so vital that we know the Lord's voice because His is the voice of truth. His is the voice of authority. His is the voice that counts. And I believe this morning that if we're not careful, that the enemy comes with his voices and the world comes with their voices and we start to listen to them. And we were chatting the other week, and I love this statement, and I probably mentioned it so many times, but I heard it years ago, and it's still true today. A lie only becomes real when we believe it. You know, we hear these words from other people, and we know that they don't make sense. We know, in all honesty, they're just lies. Because the devil says, the Bible tells us that the devil is the author of lies. See, that's what he does. He deceives, and he tells lies. And so these lies come, these voices come, and in those moments, we have to recognize what's truth and what's not. And this is why it's so important and so vital that we know God's voice. And so it says in this moment, Elijah is feeling down. He started listening to other voices. He's worried. He's worried about the Queen Jezebel coming to get him. He's worried for the things that he's done because all the prophets of Baal were executed. They were done away with. And now he's worried. So his greatest moment has led to a point where he feels like he's totally defeated. He's totally defeated. And I think in our lives, the way life works and the way days work is that one day you could just be, you know, just super strong. You feel like Iron Man or Iron Woman or whatever you feel like. You just feel like I could do anything. I can overcome all things because I know Jesus and I know God. And then it's amazing how maybe even later on that day you get a phone call, or maybe later on that day something, you get a text, or later on that day something happens, and suddenly you think to yourself, oh, I mean, what do I feel like now? I just feel dying. I feel troubled. I feel worried. I feel anxious. I feel nervous. And it says in the story that God didn't come in the loudness. It says he didn't come in the earthquake. He didn't come in the wind. He didn't come in the fire. But it said he came in a still, small voice. He came in a whisper. And this is what he whispered to Elijah in this moment. Then the voice of the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I thought, what a voice to get. What a piece of information to hear. You know, what a conversation to come down from heaven to you. In a moment where you're just feeling dejected, in a moment when you know you should be feeling better than this, but you're not, you're feeling rejected and you don't know why, and you're feeling scared and you don't know why, because you know God's voice and you know He's for you, and you know that He's not against you, but you still in that moment feel like you're just the worst in the world and you've got no hope. And God comes to them in a whisper and He says, what are you doing here? And I think what God was saying to Elijah in that moment was like, what are you doing here emotionally? What are you doing here physically? What are you doing here spiritually? I mean, you know my voice. You know who I am. You know my voice and you recognize it. What are you doing here? You don't need to be here. I'm for you and not against you. I've got great plans for you. I'm not finished with you yet. And so the Lord comes to Elijah and he says, what are you doing here? I'll speed up the story, but Elijah gets back on his feet and he goes and then anoints the next prophet to come along, which is the prophet Elisha. I mean, God's voice is so amazing. He knows at the right times to come loud, and he knows at the times to come quietly, and he knows at the times to come in a whisper. But every time he speaks, he always speaks with impact. Every time he speaks, no matter if it's loud or soft or in between, he always speaks with authority. And his word always brings life. His word always brings life. Elijah's sitting here feeling like death, and the word of the Lord comes to him just simple like this. What are you doing here? And it brings life. It brings life to Elijah. And this morning, I believe and I hope that the Lord is speaking to you and he's bringing life to you in whatever whisper and whatever loudness he needs to, but he is speaking life to you. We're going to continue on and look at another great story this morning about God speaking. We're going to look at the burning bush. It says that the angel of the Lord came. This is Moses. It says the angel of the Lord came, appeared to him in the flames of the fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see the strange sight. I mean, I like that. I'll go over and see the strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I mean, what an intro. This is God. He just shows up to Moses. He says, Moses, Moses. He calls out his name. This morning, the Lord knows your name. He knows your name. And the backdrop to this story, just in case you think it's just like, oh, what was this? This is just strange. Moses was living in a foreign land, and he was living good, and he was living healthy, and he was living strong, and he knew who he was. And then one day he makes a terrible mistake. Because Moses was living in a foreign land, but he was actually a Hebrew instead of an Egyptian. He was living with the Egyptians in a place of prominence, in a place of possession. But he knew who he was. He had found out who he was. And so he saw his people being persecuted time and time and time again. And one day he got fed up and he struck out and he made a mistake. His heart was good. He wanted to see his people go free. He wanted to see the Israelites set free from the Egyptians. They were being persecuted every day, making all these bricks, working 24/7. They were being persecuted. And he struck out and he actually killed an Egyptian. And so this is where Moses finds himself 40 years later. 40 years later in the wilderness. I don't know if he's heard the voice of the Lord in all of that time. I would suggest he hasn't. And so suddenly a voice comes from heaven, or a voice comes from this burning bush, and it says, Moses, Moses. I mean, I love the voice of the Lord, and this is why it's so vital, because he didn't come and say, Moses, where have you been? Where have you been? I mean, you know me. You know who I am. Where have you been all this time? He says, no. He just calls his name, and he says, Moses, Moses. Calls him out. The Lord is sensitive. His voice is gracious. He's full of grace. He wants to restore us. He wants to lift us up. And Moses says, here I am. After 40 years, the voice of the Lord comes. Now, I don't know what it would have felt like after 40 years, but I can only imagine. It must have felt like honey on your lips. It must have felt like complete heaven has just surrounded me. It must have felt like, wow. God has not forgotten about me. Maybe there is something more for me to do. Maybe I'm not just a hopeless case. Maybe I won't continue to look after sheep for the rest of my life. You know, maybe God's got plans for me. Maybe God's got a purpose for me. He calls out and he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. A great response. A great response. You know what I love about this story? We're going to read it on the next verses in just a moment, James. That God didn't come to Moses just to say hello to him. He didn't come to just say hello to him. God had a plan and a purpose for Moses. Even though he'd been in the wilderness for 40 years, his plan was, I'm going to use Moses to set my people free. I'm going to use Moses in all of his insecurities and all of his weaknesses. I'm going to use him to set my people free. And God didn't send him a letter. He didn't send somebody to tell him. He came in person, and he spoke to Moses. He spoke to him. And I think this morning we need to remind ourselves that God speaks to you and he will speak to you. And it doesn't really matter where you've been and how long you've been there. God will speak to you because he wants to speak to you. It wasn't just an hello. God comes to Moses. Let's read the next few verses, James. says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I love this because Moses and God start to have this conversation and God says to him, I will be with you. I will be with you. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and they say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then I shall say, then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am that I am has sent me to you. I love when God shows up to Moses, when God reveals himself to Moses, and when God speaks to Moses, he says, let the world know, let the Israelites know, let the people know, it's the I am that spoke. It's the great I am. We sing the song, it's the great I am. And I love in this moment, it's like God just lets Moses know that this is God speaking. This is not somebody else speaking. This is God speaking. I've got authority. I've got purpose. I am big. I am huge. It's me talking here. And when I speak, something always takes place. Worlds are created. New life is formed. Something always happens when God speaks. God speaks to Moses and he says, I am. I am. That's all you need to know. I'm the great I am. Just tell him that I am spoke. And I thought this morning, when I think about the I am, I thought to myself, in that moment, the conversation that Moses is having with God is that I'm just not good enough. I'm just not strong enough. I'm not at the right place enough. I haven't been to Bible college or whatever. I haven't been through a 20-week program. How can I go and do this? And God says, you need to remember, it's me. It's me here. This is not just somebody else giving you a good idea. This is the I am. And I think I heard about it years ago, but I think it's worth repeating. I mean, he's the I am to whatever we need. You know, he's the I am to any one of our needs. I am able to do this for you. I am able to do that for you. I am able to strengthen you here. I am able to lift you up there. I am able to set you free from that. I am able to forgive you from that. I am able. I am, I am, I am. Whatever the I am that we need in our lives and we'll continue to need them, God is there for us. This is why it's so vital that we know the voice of the Lord and that we recognize it and that we're listening out for it and that we're not tuned up to lots of other things because it's the great I am speaking. This is God speaking. This is God. I mean, we can miss anybody else's phone calls and it probably wouldn't matter that much, but you don't want to miss God. You do not want to miss his calls. You do not want to miss his voice. His voice is vital. And out of this, because we're not going into the story, but out of this, Moses eventually goes. He's unwilling, but God talks him around. Maybe sometimes God has to talk you around again, a good reason to know the Lord's voice. And Moses goes and he sets the people free. He sets the people free. And I think just one more point in that before we move on. I think God comes to Moses in that moment and he reminds him who he is. He reminds him how great he is. He gives him a plan and a purpose. But I think what God was doing at the initial point, and maybe through those verses as you read them, maybe you'll feel the same in your own heart. I believe what God was saying to him in that moment was, I'm not just here for a big plan for your life. I'm not just here to tell you what you have to do. I'm here also to set you free too. I'm here also to set you free too. And I think that's so important to know because God does have great plans for your life and God does have great purposes for your life, but you're not just an object. You know, you're not just a car. You know, it's not like God turns up to you and says, I need to use you because, you're like a car and I could fit 5 or 6 people in you. I mean, God knows who we are. He has made us. He has formed us. He is personal with us. And so God came to Moses and he talked with Moses. And not only did he give him a plan and a purpose for the future, but he came to him one-to-one. He came right beside him and he says, Moses, I know where you've been. I know what you've been through. And I am right here for you. And I am here to set you free first. And out of that, you will set lots of other people free. God is personal. He comes down to us and he speaks to us. It's that big and the small thing all at the one time. His voice is vital. His voice is vital. You're important. I need you. I haven't forgotten you. I know 40 years have passed, but God still remembers. I've got a great plan for you. I want you to save a nation. I'm going to find you. Moses probably didn't want to be found. He probably didn't want to hear from God, but maybe at the same time he really did. God was looking for him. He was searching for him. Confidence. Confidence in our faith. And so I want to finish off with a few more verses and then we're going to be done. 5 minutes. I thought to myself, how do we know his verse? This is the verse that Pastor Gary from Listadil would have shared many, many times, but this is really important to know. It says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. This is something that we just need to get for just a moment. We're going to go to Sheepville, or you're going to become a sheep for just a moment, because it's important to know who the shepherd is. It's important to know who you are. And the shepherd says this morning, Jesus says this morning, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. I mean, I don't think sheep go around all day long worrying, I wonder will the shepherd remember where we are? I wonder will the farmer remember where he's put us? I wonder will the farmer remember to do this for us or do that for us? They just, I don't know what they do, but they just seem to sit around all day or stand around all day and just eat grass. You know what I mean? They do simple things. And I think sometimes we're trying to overcomplicate things. And we're wondering, saying, God, is that your voice? Is this your voice? And I think sometimes we just got to rest and know this. That if I want to phone you, I'm going to make sure to get through to you. All you have to do is pick up. All you have to do is pick up. You don't need to try and find my number. I know your number. And God is saying as the shepherd to the sheep, I know your number. I know how to get you. All you have to do is just remember to listen. Remember to pick up. I know how to get through to you. I know how to stop you in your tracks if I need to, like he did with Saul on the road to Damascus. I know how to come to you in a whisper in the middle of the night if that's what I need to. I can wake you up in the middle of the night to talk to you because that's how good I am. You don't need to worry about, wonder if I've got the right number. I wonder if I've got the right phone. I wonder if I need to get the new iPhone. It's pretty good. But, you know, you don't need to worry about those things. Sheep just do whatever they do. They keep things simple. They're just interested in eating and maybe having more sheep. You know, that's just what they do. You know, we keep things simple. But it's the shepherd who knows to contact them. It's the shepherd who knows to get in touch with them. And I think on a serious note, I mean, this is so important to know. How do I know God's voice? How do I hear God's voice? God knows your number. He knows when to phone you. Our job is to pray to him. Our job is to create time for him. Our God is to read his word because through his word he speaks. Our job is to pray to him because in prayer God speaks to us and we can speak to him. Our job is to listen out because it could be somebody in church this morning that might come to this and go, I don't know what it is, but I've had this word burning in my heart all week, or I've had this thing in my mind all week and God put it in my heart and said, you should share it with them or share it with her. And hopefully it's encouraging. You know, hopefully it's uplifting and encouraging. But guys, this morning it says, my sheep hear my voice. It's plain and simple. It's very easy. There's nothing much to get here. It says, my sheep, you will hear my voice. You will hear my voice. It's not you will hope to. It's not that you might. It's not that sometimes. It says, you will hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. We're going to hear God's voice. We're going to know God's voice. God is going to know us. And we will follow him. I give them, this is how we prove it. It says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus is reminding us this morning. The shepherd is reminding us this morning that not only is he the shepherd, but he's God. Not only is he Jesus, but he is God. He is all powerful. There's nobody that can take you away from me. I am the shepherd. Nobody is going to snatch you from me. I have got you. I know your number. I'm keeping hold of you. I'm not going to lose you. And if I do, I go looking for you like the 99 and the one lost. Jesus goes and he finds us. We don't need to worry. How do I know his voice? The shepherd makes sure that you know his voice. Our job is just to listen out. And how do I hear? I think we just do what sheep do. We just listen out. We just listen out. Because the shepherd's going to make himself known. And he's going to lead us to this place and to that place. We don't have to worry every day, where am I going to get new grass to eat? And where am I going to get the water to drink? He's taking care of all of those things. He's taking care of all of those things. And so anything that we've need of, the Bible tells us, ask God. Come to God in prayer. Know that God is for us and not against us. Know that he wants to speak to us. And when we're speaking, remember to listen also, because God wants to speak to us. How can God speak to me? Finally, his word, his people, his voice. He'll do it through many different ways. If you read the Bible at all, you will see countless stories. I just picked just a couple this morning, but countless stories of God speaking to man. God loves to speak to man, and God hopes that man will speak to him. I encourage you this. Listen out for God's voice. Listen out for his leading. Listen out for his commands. Know that anytime God speaks into your life, it's to bring life. Even if sometimes it's a voice where you think, wow, maybe God, I could have used a better word than that. But it will bring life. It will lift us up. This morning as we're finishing, we're going to finish with a song. We're going to sing Broken Vessels this morning. But let's trust our shepherd. Let's trust our shepherd this morning. And maybe if you need to hear God's voice, or maybe the ground has been, or the atmosphere has been a bit muddy and you haven't been able to hear God, let's believe this morning that the airwaves are going to be cleared and you're going to hear God. Let's believe this morning as we stand and we rejoice and we sing that God will continuously speak into our lives. And if you're hearing God's voice this morning saying, come to me, and you don't know him, maybe this morning you'll put your trust in the shepherd. and continue to put your trust in the shepherd. We, John 10:11 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is our good shepherd this morning. Let's stand and sing together.